Welcome to Transform Now, a podcast focused on intelligent automation and brought to you by SS&C Blue Prism. On this program, we talk about how organizations globally are rethinking the way they operate, utilizing process orchestration and AI-enabled digital workers to free up humans to do the work that matters most. We also share insights and tips on how you can embrace this new way of working and unleash your full potential. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to Transform Now. This is our weekly pulse check on automation and AI news. I'm Brad Hairston.
And I'm Michael Marchuk.
So Michael, let's dive right in. The first headline we're going to talk about today comes from the ARS Technica source, and it reads this way. OpenAI winds down AI image generator that blew minds and forged friendships in 2022. Now, this is talking about DALL-E 2, which essentially launched in April of 2022. And Michael, this is a big deal because this was, at least in my opinion, this was the technology that got released that really made generative AI tangible for the first time. I mean, ChatGPT was mind-blowing. DALL-E 2, though, was
it preceded the
technology that people started putting in text and getting these incredible images. And so I think it's a big deal that this thing has been turned off.
It is a big deal. And again, I don't know how many friendships were actually forged because of DALL-E 2. I'm sure there's some count.
Probably
somewhere.
Not many.
I don't think I've made many friends on DALL-E 2, honestly. maybe I just missed out on that particular part of it. But I think it's a big deal as we see any of these large language models, whether it's DALL-E 2 or open, ChatGPT's 3.5 is now 4.0, mm-hmm. and then there's going to be 4.5. We should be expecting this kind of natural progression where things are going to be spun up and then sunset at some point. So I think this is a normal thing.
Yeah, and they are rolling out DALL-E 3, which is part of this. So it's not going away completely. They have a new and improved version. Michael, really what I want to talk about and get your opinion on is, DALL-E 2, I think even more so than ChatGPT, really started the whole firestorm and the debate, which still today goes on, about the fact that it was, leveraging or absorbing the skills of human artists and photographers by training the technology on their images without their permission. And that has become a big source of controversy, ethical and regulatory type discussions. So what do you think about that? I mean, that is something that's continuing and hasn't gone away and probably won't go away anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's tough because these data sets that DALL-E 2 or all these companies have used, there's a very fine line between what's just borrowing and what's stealing. And I think at this point in time, there's still a legal discussion about what that actually implies, because you're right, there are a lot of artists out there whose work was trained, these particular models. And, what do you do about it? Do you try to sue for it? Because you mentioned, there's people who are creating these works of art that are in the style of fill in the blank artist who these images have been trained on. Which they produce some very interesting things, but they can't be copyrighted, right? These things mm-hmm. cannot be copyrighted because they're generated by AI, but the original works can be copyrighted because a person actually created them. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more, legal wrangling, not just here in the United States, but globally, as to what fair use might look like when mm-hmm. you start talking about leveraging, these images to create new ones.
Yeah, definitely. And it should be noted, there are a ton of image creators out there on the market. Ever since DALL-E 2 came out, there's been a proliferation of them. So, it's going to continue to be a pervasive technology, and the debate will continue to go on about IP and how to make sure permissions are there. So, interesting. But let's just pay homage to DALL-E 2. It was the trendsetter. And it is a big deal that it's now, it's
productivity. They're going to leverage those tools however they can mm-hmm. to be more productive, to be more efficient, to be able to be more competitive. So mm-hmm. there's a lot going on there. I mean, certainly from a selfish standpoint, I'd like to be able to work 32 hours a week and clock out. But
it wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. And be able to find out, you know, new hobbies and whatnot. So it'd be interesting to see where this goes. But I don't think it's going to change much, even with the declining birth rates and the whole, you know, population changes that we have. I really think that organizations will find that the tools will be providing some additional labor if you mandate transitions to the number of hours that somebody actually works.
Yeah. Well, the Republicans, as I said, are opposed to the bill. They believe it will have a very harsh impact on industries like retail that really need to be open 6 to 7 days a week. They can't see, you know, worker weeks cut back like that. It would be traumatic to them. That's their opinion. By the way, the article cited comments from JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon and Microsoft founder Bill Gates, who said that they predict that because of automation and AI, that not too far in the future, we may get to 3 days a week. That's what our work weeks will look like. So they're even thinking further, further reduction than you know, the U.S. Legislators are at this point. So interesting stuff.
I think it is interesting. And politics aside, I mean, there are part-time workers everywhere, especially in retail. And, you know, I'm sure Jamie Dimon's Chase Bank, there's plenty of part-time tellers that are working there. So the 32 hours may not actually mean much. Just be more a political viewpoint on these kind of things.
Yeah.
But again, politics aside, the tools are there and our lives in theory should be made better by the tools that we use. I mean, we're not out in the fields now hooking up oxen to go break up the hard ground. So these are some big pluses using tools now. We are able to work from air conditioned offices and whatnot. So there's a lot of benefits that we do see from tools that are added, but the work does change. And I think that is something that they're maybe not factoring in.
Yep. So our third headline comes from the world of entertainment, but it has an AI aspect to it. This is from AV Club. And the article reads, or the title is, "Okay, so Will I Am is co-hosting a podcast with AI." So Will I Am, of course, from the Black Eyed Peas. I know you're a huge Black Eyed Pea fan. Will I Am is not one of the critics of AI, those that, you know, are looking at it as you know, the end of humanity. Quite the contrary, he calls himself a futurist, and he's very, very pro AI. And he's now launched a podcast, and get this, his co-host on the podcast is a generative AI product.
So, Brad, I just want to let you know that this is your last podcast because I'm replacing you with AI. So just thank you for being here with us.
We're going to have to give that a shot. That might work. I'd love that. Will I Am's co-host is called QD.PI or Cutie Pie. So take that how you will. Anyway, he's apparently very, very pro AI. In fact, he has said, not in this article, but in another one that I read, that he believes AI is going to provide more access to knowledge to all people groups globally.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
He's very bullish on it and feels like it's going to be good for society, better for humanity, not negative, you know, to humanity, like a lot would say. So,
and we've seen that with a couple other artists too. I mean, you know, Grimes had mentioned that, you know, if you want to use her voice, she said, "Hey, no problem. Take my voice. Let AI do whatever you're going to do with it. Make some music. I want to cut." You know, so these artists are going to say, "I'm going to embrace this new way of making music, these new tools that are at our disposal, to be more creative, to do whatever it is." They're embracing it, and they're going to see the fruits from that. Because they're embracing it, I don't think this is it's not going to put people out of work. I think this is just going to change the way they do their work, and just like electronic, you know, any kind of electronic gear that we've used to make music over the past century, when we start building those tools, new things happen. we have the ability to do electric guitar versus just an acoustic guitar. You know, did that put people out of work? No, it created some interesting musical styles that we just didn't have before because of that. So I think we're going to see the same thing again, where the styles, both in artistic viewpoint, no matter what kind of art, are going to change.
Yep. All right, let's bring it to a wrap. Thanks for joining us on this weekly news pulse check. We publish podcasts every week with incredible guests. So check us out. Please subscribe now.
Make sure you subscribe. Now. Do that right now. Don't forget. Just hit subscribe.
And we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Transform Now, the podcast from SS&C Blue Prism. You can find all of our episodes on your favorite podcast channel, as well as YouTube. To stay on top of the hottest topics in the world of intelligent automation, subscribe now. The future of work is here.